Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, right now, on 105.9 FM WMAL.
The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. We have a really special program for you today, but also a very special guest, someone who keeps me on the line and straight all the time. And, you know, first the program, we're going to talk about chronic pain. And yes, probably to her, I am somewhat a chronic painful situation. Hi, Sue.
Don't go there.
See how it is? Well, you know, after all of these years, I can say that you have survived the slings and arrows. Anyway, we're going to talk about that pain, that constant irritation, and we're not going to finger point, are we?
No, we're not.
Anyway, welcome again. We're going to talk about chronic pain patterns and, you know, why we're in such a deep problem, the opioid crisis, and, you know, that started back in the day when the drug companies said, you know, you're going to write these scripts and that's the only way they can control pain, because they had no idea the why is it behind those things. Mm-hmm. And pain does have a why is it. It's there for a reason. The problem is that we have a tendency to compartmentalize and treat symptoms in this country and not treat the actual cause. Well, so, you know, people have a problem. They've tried all kinds of things, and unfortunately, they look at drug companies. And we're going to kind of take the veil off that today and look at that from a different perspective.
Well, and of course, your pharmaceutical influence has made a big, big change in the way people perceive things that they need to do for their health. And we've forgotten basics. We've forgotten the very foundations of what keeps us healthy and alive. You have to figure we've walked this earth for many thousands of years before pharmaceutical companies came along. But now it's become a huge industry, and it's a focus, unfortunately, of the medical profession in many cases. And the whole concept of foundation health has completely bypassed medical schools and their training.
You know, let's take this apart a little bit. You know, one of the reasons I am who I am today and I do what I do in the field of chiropractic, acupuncture, nutrition is because of your history, your background, your story. Mm-hmm. I was headed to medical school and I had about a year left before that was going to take place. And I decided to find out what this crazy thing called chiropractic was all about. And back in the day, you suffered from very severe migraine headaches that literally would wipe out 1 to 2 days a week. And either the migraine did or the side effects of the medications that you were taking in those days were even far worse than they are today. Mm-hmm. You know, this was something that today...
Most of them aren't even on the market anymore.
Right. You would have gone into an opioid pattern.
More than likely.
Right?
Yeah.
And this was not okay. And you had suffered with it since you were about 5 years old.
About three.
Mm-hmm. And so your parents said it was groin pains, right?
Well, no.
Not so much.
There was just, in those days, that's something that you dealt with. You
obviously,
didn't.
I'm being facetious, but the thing of it is it got progressively worse over time. And the medical approach was to fuse your neck from top to bottom because they felt that it was an irritation to the cord. Mm-hmm. And that was the only solution that they had. So when the medication didn't work, that's
pain relievers and muscle relaxants and all of those things.
So the interesting thing was, is that when we were there in Chicago and I said, you know, this is not going to happen. It was not something you were going to allow to happen. So we started you in a private clinic outside the school area. And within literally 30 days, your headaches were gone. They were mm-hmm. history. And you stayed under care for quite some time to correct
the problem
things.
Wasn't gone, but the headache itself was gone.
Correct.
And I was the happiest camper in town.
And that was the turning event for what we do and how we do what we do today. So when you know you have that personal experience and you really get that there's another way, that's what's driven me for... I'm in my 43rd year of practice, and the people that we've seen that come in with all kinds of pain, whether it's back pain or head pain or hand pain or neuropathies and so forth, and we look at them and say, this can be resolved, this can be turned around, it comes from personal experience.
Absolutely.
So let's talk a little bit about, you know, the triggering mechanisms, and then we're going to get into some specific things. We're going to talk a little bit more about this wonderful field that we're in later on in the second part of the program. There's some interesting articles in a study out of Yale that came out relative to chiropractic and the opioid crisis and how effective it is, far more than other things as well. So let's get into this mechanism of, you know, you deal with biochemical pathways every day with our patients.
Right.
So, Sue, from your perspective relative to that, what are some of the things that people are doing that may be causing pain, but also some of the things that they're doing that won't allow what they're trying to do to resolve the pain pattern?
Well, it goes back to what I said earlier about the foundation. If you have the foundation for a healthy body, it must include your lifestyle. It must include the type of foods that you put into your body. It must include your sleeping patterns, your exercise patterns, and so forth. These are foundation things that are essential no matter what the issue is. Whether you're dealing with a back pain or a cancer, they remain the essential foundation for establishing a better health pattern. We've lost track of that. The things that we put into our bodies. You want to know what the instigator is for a lot of pain problems? Well, a lot of the foods that we choose to eat these days because of convenient or they taste good or everything are loaded with chemicals and additives, all of which upset the natural, normal balance that Mother Nature put into us to manage our pain. We have the opioids already in our bodies that our bodies require. We have every drug in the that we need ever in our whole life. Ability to produce in our bodies, but we have to lay the foundation to allow the body to be healthy enough to be able to do that. Now, that doesn't mean that we have heroin in our bodies. It just means that when we have a pain pattern, our bodies have a way of creating a chemical that mitigates that pain pattern, given the fact that the body is healthy enough to do that. But if the body is being distracted and going off into 20 directions dealing with the inflammation that comes from the food dyes or the neurotoxicity of the aspartame or the MSG or dealing with allergy foods that are upsetting the immune system and the adrenal system, all of these things take away from the body's natural ability to deal with the problems that come with life's bumps and bangs. And from my perspective, that's where we begin. We work with the foundation of developing the health of the individual. Because if you get their dietary patterns in place and you get them sleeping better and you get them walking a little bit, it's amazing how many other problems begin to remedy themselves.
Well, you know, you tell patients if you walk 2 miles every day, and we're not talking about speed, we're just making sure that they walk it throughout the day and they accumulate 2 miles, you have a 50% reduction of dying from a disease process than somebody else who does not do that. Mm-hmm. And that's because of, you know, the immunological response. But, you know, here's the piece.
Our bodies were designed to move.
That's right. We are. But, you know, here's a societal attitude, unfortunately, that we see so much of today. People are expedient experts, right? And we're taught from the time that we're very young that pain is our enemy completely, and we have to blunt it, get rid of it. And unfortunately, pain in many situations is a warning sign.
It's a messenger.
It's a messenger, and you have to make sure that you pay attention to that message. But even from the time we're very young, mom says, here, take this, you know, this painkiller, this Advil, this children's Tylenol, whatever it is, to make the pain go away.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, in doing that, when we blunt the pain cycle, we continue to irritate whatever it is that's causing the problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I talk to a patient, I tell them there's functional patterns and there's pathological patterns. Functional ignored ultimately lead to pathology. And so I take them through and I said, you know, unless mom and dad has messed up, you know, before they were carrying you, and then when mom was carrying you and they were doing things that weren't appropriate, I said, you were born with the capacity for function. And then what happens is life. We get hurt, we don't eat the way we're supposed to, and we stress.
Right.
Unfortunately, nobody gives us the tools in our current society to be able to handle those irritations, those stressors of life. And then what we do is we begin to produce these symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't feel good. I got a headache. My back is a little sore. My shoulder, I got a bursitis. I have a tendonitis. I have an inflammatory reaction. And we go to the good doc, and because the way that medicine is trained today, they need to put out the symptom. So subsequently, what happens is they write a script. Mm-hmm. This will blunt the symptom. It doesn't resolve the triggering mechanism, the underlying situation that caused it to begin with, but it does resolve that symptomological process. Unfortunately, as the patient continues to experience degeneration, breakdown, ultimately producing something called pathology, and
right.
pathology is what you can actually see. It's the joint space destruction, it's destruction of tissue, it's the cancer that shows up. It's all of these things that, you know, we say, oh my God, how did I get here?
Exactly, exactly, because we're ignoring the warning signal. Like you said, there's a fire and the fire alarm is going off and you're watching a television show that you don't want to be interrupted, so you go and you bang the fire alarm.
Exactly. You're not going to
knock it off.
That's right. It's an irritation.
You forget.
Don't want to hear this anymore.
Well, and also, unfortunately, people are being told it doesn't matter what you eat. All right, and this is coming from people that they feel are very wise and educated and that, quote, know more than they do. And they're being told it doesn't matter what your diet is. And it doesn't matter whether you're dealing with the common cold or seasonal allergies or a cancer and everything in between. This is the message that is being given because this is the message that is being taught, unfortunately, to most of our medical practitioners. And I don't mean to bash the medicine people. That's not what I'm doing. I'm just saying that in their educational process, the focus has become so pharmaceutically oriented that even they have forgotten the basics of what keeps the body healthy. I can tell you they're taking better care of their Mercedes than they do their own bodies.
Do you think?
Yeah. And unfortunately, that's the message that we get. It's like, oh, well, it doesn't matter. I can go to McDonald's because I love their French fries and I love their burgers and it's easy and I don't even have to get out of the car, so I don't have to walk. I can just drive through and get what I need. And you're going to end up feeling awful. And then they've, you know, veg out at work, or they're fuzzy brained and they can't concentrate, or heaven forbid there's an important meeting at 3 o'clock in the afternoon because they're in a coma.
They're in a coma, and then subsequently, because of that, they don't do the other things that they can do to support themselves.
Right.
And we get into a loop, and we're taught that it really doesn't make any difference what you eat. How many times have you heard that from a patient that comes into your office and said, well, my doctor said it doesn't really matter?
Well, and unfortunately, there are studies out there that say people who have a healthy lifestyle, even if they're undergoing severe treatment for serious disorders, do much better. They do much better. The chemo or the radiation or whatever the protocols are more effective in a healthier body. Well, that goes back to the fact that Mother Nature's trying to take care of you.
You know, we have a cancer patient that, obviously we're not going to mention on the air, but this patient just went under a surgical procedure to remove a bowel tumor,
mm-hmm.
right? And this is a known diabetic. And so they're treating this patient with chemotherapeutics. That was the area he decided to go into. And unfortunately, we'll get into this a little bit more, they're giving him medications preventatively. That's their cocktail that's causing him far more problems than otherwise.
I know.
So we're going to talk about that. We're coming up to a break. And this is a topic that I really want to expand upon because people don't get what they don't know. We want to make sure that they have all the data. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live and my special guest, my boss, Sue Rozelle. We'll be right back in just a minute. Don't go away.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on WMAL.
Welcome back. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. Have a very special program today, and my very special guest, Sue Rozelle, and we're talking about chronic pain. And don't talk to her about who the chronic pain is in her life, because I may get a finger pointed to me. No, it's, you know, after all these years, you get to say that, right? No, never mind. I'm not giving you that opening. Seriously, though, pain patterns in this country are ones that are being blunted, and all of a sudden we find ourselves in something called an opioid crisis, where people are being addicted and to a drug that has the same receptors in the human body as heroin and cocaine,
mm-hmm.
and just as difficult to get off. And also nicotine, by the way, is probably one of the worst drugs relative to addiction.
They all hit the same addictive center in the brain.
Every one of them.
Yep.
So, Sue, listen, you know, we're talking about, we talked about inflammatory reactions and how they affect the body. And, but let's explore that just a little bit more. Then we'll get into, you know, some of the biochemical pathways a little bit later on in the second phase. But these inflammatory pathways, how do they produce the pain pattern or exaggerate it or make it worse where it can't be blunted? It won't go away.
Well, I think it's like you said, it's time frames. You know, if people have a small problem early on and they do the things they need to do to start changing it, you know, whether it's getting more sleep, maybe it's better exercise, maybe it's getting adjustments or acupuncture or something like that early on, it's much easier to deal with. If the pain is being exacerbated by, say, food allergies, get off the foods that bother you. If you're not doing well with peanuts, don't eat peanut butter. That's, you know, pretty simple, basic things. But the more you create aberrant lifestyle patterns, the more your body struggles to try to deal with that warning signal that there's something wrong. And it goes back to the question that you always ask is, why is that? You know, why do you have this pain? What is going on in your body that created this pain in the first place?
You know, it's a very interesting situation because patients will come in and I'll ask them certain questions about what they drank, or we check off the dairy and the coffees and the caffeine products and the sodas and all those things. The normal, my mantra, sugar, sodas, coffee, black teas, fast food, fried foods, alcohol, gluten, additives, preservatives, you know, yada, 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 gluten products and so forth. And they'll say, well, I don't eat a lot, just a little bit once in a while. And then I look at them and I say, well, that's like being a little pregnant. You either are or you're not. You either do or you don't, right?
So, hence the name Yoda.
Exactly. Yeah, that's my favorite boy. So at the end of the day is that if you have a problem with something, even a little bit is problematic.
It is. It is. And it adds to, because every time there is something going on lifestyle that causes an inflammatory chemical to be produced, because your body is constantly trying to handle all of the things that come along and keep you alive and upright. If you have a problem that is creating an infringement somewhere, your immune system and your nervous system is attempting to create a circumstance to fix that. If in the same time you're also doing things lifestyle wise, food, no exercise, too much stress, not enough sleep, all of these things interfere with the body's ability to produce the chemicals that would mitigate the problem and cause it to be healing, and aggravating it and adding to the problem.
You know, we're constantly in a fight flight situation in our lives, and we need stress, because if you eliminated all stress, you would actually die.
Mm-hmm.
So the body has to have that to continue its process. But here's where we're getting in trouble. We're looking at stress patterns around us and really ignoring them and thinking that they're something that we have to deal with, put up with. We know that injury is a stress pattern, and pain patterns that are constant, don't go away, are stress patterns. We know that emotion, how the mind thinks, not the brain chemistry, can be a stress pattern. We know that biochemistry, which we're going to get into the second half of the program, has huge impacts on stress, acid, inflammatory reactions.
Sure.
So we're coming up to that place where we're going to have to take a break. It's halfway point of the program. My guest in studio, Sue Rozell. We're talking about chronic pain patterns, and we're going to talk about what you can do about them and how you can handle them. And you're going to find out chiropractic is one of the most effective ways. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is Dr. Tom Rozell Live on 105.9 FM WMAL.
Welcome back. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozell Live. What an amazing opportunity that I have today to interview somebody who I think knows a whole lot more than me. And I say that out of protection in my world. No, my wife, Sue Rozell. And we're talking about chronic pain patterns and how they can come about, but also more importantly, how they can be resolved and the things that you can do to help yourself. So I want to, Sue, I want to reiterate a little bit and talk about basically what is happening in our society today. I'll use the word expedient. because we are intolerant. We want things yesterday. We're unwilling to take responsibility. We don't do the things that we should do, or neglect, probably a better word, because everybody has to have something done yesterday. So we're surrounded by electromagnetics, all kinds of incoming. Everybody has their device. We're sitting in studio right now, and we have all kinds of low-volt electromagnetic fields that are coming in and affecting us. And, you know, when you fly an airplane...
Do we glow when we leave here?
I think we will. We will. We will increase our notability. Now, in people who fly, you know, in addition to that, you know, they're flying cross-country, they're being exposed to the equivalent of dozens of X-rays.
Sure.
Every time they go coast to coast at 35,000 to 38,000 feet. And we don't realize the impact
it has. Same thing in cars.
Correct. You know, all the
we're sitting
the
in the middle of a computer.
You know, and people who have these new Bluetooth, and I'm going to make a lot of people very upset right now by saying this, these new Bluetooth hearing aids, you know, mm-hmm. that they say, oh, I can just tune it up or tune it down and it's all good and so mm-hmm. forth. No, you're breaking down that blood-brain barrier yeah. because of that Bluetooth exposure, and it's constant. It's, in my opinion, it's one of the more deadly things that can happen. But let's get into, you know, the area that you have probably more knowledge and capacity than most everybody else. This dietary curmudgeon that is causing pain to exacerbate,
mm-hmm.
causing and triggering pain yeah. patterns and so forth. Walk us through that just a little bit.
Well, as there are foods that support all the different functions in our body, there are also foods that create chemistry in our body that is the instigator for inflammation and pain. And, of course, inflammation is basically the instigator of all the diseases that take us out in this world now. We don't die of bugs anymore as a rule. We die of inflammation. In other words, we don't die of typhus and cholera and malaria and that sort of thing in this country. Unfortunately, it is still the case in many countries, but not here. We die of inflammatory diseases, which is the cancers, the heart diseases, the debilitating neurological degenerative diseases, Alzheimer's, and so forth. And we know that there is a direct relationship between eating inflammatory foods and having a less than stellar lifestyle and the increase in that. One of the chemicals that's produced by some of those inflammatory foods is a substance called arachidonic acid. And what that is, not that you need to understand the name, but it is a substance that when we have a lot of that in our bodies, it activates the immune system to produce chemicals that are inflammatory because the body thinks it is an invader.
Well, arachidonic acid is also one of the things that's immediately produced in any type of impact injury mm-hmm. and that affects the nervous system.
Sure, sure. So what our bodies are trying to do, they think there's an invader. Remember, we're still in an ancient body. We're still 2 million years old genetically. And
I look that bad, huh?
Yes. No. But our bodies have not accommodated to all of the modern technology and the modern chemical insults that we are exposed to. When we have meat, which is one of the causative factors, now I'm talking red meat that's grain-fed, generally genetically modified corn that's given to these animals or soybeans, these animals are as sick as we are. And then when we consume their food, that is an inflammatory substance that activates that one particular molecule.
We get their predispositions.
We do. And so it causes joint pain. It causes skin problems. It causes immune disruptions and so forth. That's different from when you have meat that has been pastured and grass-fed their entire lives, because now you have a different form of fat that's in that meat that does not create nearly the same level of
arachidonic
acid.
An extension of
acid.
What you're saying, Sue, is also not only meat, but let's talk about fish.
Mm-hmm.
All the fish that's out there today, not all the fish, that's an erroneous statement, but all the farm-raised fish that we're consuming, that is usually the things that are served in restaurants mm-hmm. and so forth, these things are not being fed what they normally would eat if they were wild in the ocean
exactly.
and the rivers and so forth. And subsequently, the soy, the corn, the other pollutions, the antibiotics, the things that they're putting in so these things don't die in captivity, so to speak, it's being put into our bodies because we're eating these fish.
Mm-hmm.
So the
mm-hmm.
same correlation is with
and
the
again,
animals.
And again, our bodies are incredibly intelligent. We wouldn't have stayed on this earth if it weren't for that fact, because the environment has never been conducive to life relative to, you know, biped humans. We don't have a lot of natural defenses like claws and fast running and that sort of thing.
Some people would argue about that, but that's nonetheless.
So we have all sorts of signaling systems in our bodies that activate whenever we are having an exposure to something that create an inflammatory response, because that's how our body gets rid of bugs. That's part of our immune system. Inflammation is essential for survival, but it's when it gets to an extreme that we have trouble.
Yeah, when it won't stop.
And when it won't stop.
When it shuts off. An inflammatory reaction actually signals the body to go into repair mode.
It does.
And it's a necessary piece, but that inflammatory reaction that doesn't die down is the one now that causes degradation and destruction of tissue and joint spaces.
Well, and like I often will say, inflammation is like a fire. If it's a campfire, it's wonderful. If it's a forest fire, we have a problem. And unfortunately, when you have just that one chemical of arachidonic acid in the body, you have a forest fire.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. You know, when going back and probably 25 years ago, 30 years ago, the founder of our specialty, Dr. George Goodhart, did a research project with a group of neurologists out of Boston, actually out of Harvard. And they found that people who suffered paralysis because of spinal fractures, what they realized then that they didn't know before was that the majority of paralysis that takes place because you break your neck or you break your spine someplace is not a result of severing of the spinal cord. It's a result of an inflammatory cascade that goes into place, and one of the essential things that blocks that signal is the buildup of arachidonic acid.
Mm-hmm.
And they found that if they could remove or modify that arachidonic buildup, then they had a good shot of re-stimulating neural pathways,
right,
and allowing the patient, one, to get out of the pain, but also to allow function to begin to resume and return again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So when you look at that and you look at the arachidonic buildups, the question becomes, why is that? Why do some people have far more egregious responses in arachidonic, you know, stimulation in the body and others don't? And it comes down to what you're talking about relative to their exposures, their dietary
their
patterns
exposures,
and so forth.
The foundation.
That's
goes
right.
Back to the foundation. You know, and we're just picking on one. There are multiple inflammatory chemicals that our bodies produce. And they've got funny names like NF-kappa B and IL-6 and IL-2 and all these sort of things. These are all aspects of the immune system that go after and try to protect us from our environment. And small doses, they're essential, but in high doses, they are deadly. And these are the kinds of things that are modulated by the communication that our food sends to our genes. So we're back to the genomic thing. All right, we are creatures of our environment. We have developed a genetic pattern that allows us to exist in a rather hostile environment through these millennials that we've walked this earth. And when we don't have the foundation things that talk to our genes in the right way and turn on the stay healthy genes and turn on the lower the inflammation response genes, we end up with a disease process.
So Sue, in today's world, you know, we're hearing people come out with all these rekindled diets that are out there. And, you know, you have intermittent fasting, you have paleo this, you have the Mediterranean diet, you have, and it just goes on. And so there are some of these things, as you and I know, are generally broad brush supportive.
Right.
And some of them can cause a whole lot of trouble in the body if people aren't careful.
Absolutely.
So let's take the positive light.
Okay.
What are the things that people can do that are suffering chronic pain patterns that are inflamed like crazy? What can they do to begin to help themselves? And obviously it's individual. They'd be better off seeing you or one of our other people in our office. But if somebody wanted to say, okay, I'm going to try this, how would you direct them?
Well, there are still basic rules of thumb. All right. Everybody, I don't care who they are, age, problems, or what, everybody needs food as close to the way it came from nature as possible. if it had dirt on it at some point in its existence, it's probably a good food. Now, obviously, like you said, everybody has their individual glitches, and they can't do nightshades, or they can't do tree nuts or something like that. But the point here is fruits and vegetables are commonality no matter who you are, no matter what your problems are. Fruits and vegetables is Mother Nature's multivitamin. It contains more than 8,000 nutrients and phytonutrients. We're going way beyond vitamins and minerals. We're going into the antioxidants. The protective substances for the plants are also the protective substances for our bodies. And the only place we get those are from real food.
So a quick differentiation. Big difference between fresh and canned or synthesized or in powdered form?
Yeah. So in other words, you cannot take a greens powder drink and get the same benefit that you get if you eat a bowl of spinach, say.
A lot of advertisers disagree with you.
I know. And, I mean, they're doing better at trying to make them better for those people who can't eat green things. But the point here is fruits and vegetables, no matter what the color is, no matter where it is, if it had dirt on it at some point in its existence before you bought it at the grocery store and then you take it home and it hasn't got a wrapper, a box, or a can around it, more than likely it's a good food.
Or modified with a whole lot of additives and preservatives.
Exactly.
And so forth. It has to be fresh, clean, organic.
Exactly. Now, that's part of it. The other part of it is we are protein creatures. Without protein, we cannot heal. We cannot support our immune system. We cannot heal our tissues. We cannot calm down the inflammation because our entire immune system is made of protein. So not only do we need the fruits and the vegetables, but we need clean protein. Again, protein that's unadulterated, preferably animals or plant foods raised in ideal conditions, which would be animals grass-fed and pastured, not feedlot in a barn that they never see the light of day. Fish that swim freely in the ocean, preferably the deep, cold water fish out way out in the middle of the ocean, not close up to the shorelines. And if you're vegetarian, do the best you can with your beans and your grains, but make sure they're organic. You don't want the chemicals that are in there.
We have to make sure that vegetarians or vegans particularly understand that to do it properly, they have to have a huge array of vegetables and things that actually will give them the support that they need.
And vegetarian proteins that are appropriate. Nuts and seeds are really excellent ones. Your beans and your grains are very excellent, but they need to be organic. And again, we run into a problem with gluten for some of those vegetarians. And there are just some nutrients that vegetarians cannot get from their diet. So they have to do supplements.
You know, this is a situation and a topic that we could go on and on and on about. Unfortunately, we're limited, but we invite anybody to come to the practice and the programs that we do. We're coming up to a break that we have to acknowledge all those people that bring us Dr. Tom Rozell Live. We try to make sure that we give you as much data that you can research. And, you know, our job is to stimulate you, to provoke you, to make sure that you are willing to do the research and not just buy into anyone, including us. But that's our mission. We're coming up to a break, and don't go away. Come right back. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozell Live.
Dr. Tom Rozell Live continues now on WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Rozell. You've been listening to Dr. Tom Rozell Live, as you do every Sunday at high noon on the Eastern Seaboard. And those of you around the country that listen to us by either terrestrial radio or you go online and you check us out afterwards, we thank you. And just keep reminding people that this is your source of good health information, and we want you to be able to apply it. We've had a great program today, and we want to make sure that we always thank our men and women in the military and the things that they do for us. And when you reach out to us, we will do everything that we can always to serve you and get data back. We thank you. Sometimes I wonder how you find us, but we're here for you. My guest in studio, Sue Rozell. Today we're talking about chronic pain patterns and things that you can do to optimize your health and modify these chronic pain conditions without going to opioids and the things that your doctor necessarily wants to give you. Fortunately, we know we have a problem, and we're beginning to modify that. Sue, we talked a little bit about dietary patterns, and you were starting to kind of walk into the garden of a certain type of dietary name recognition. So I'm going to let you fly with that.
Well, I'm just going to coin a term that one of my mentors, Dr. Alex Vasquez, uses. It's called the Paleo-Mediterranean diet. Okay.
I like that.
Kind of covers a lot of bases.
That's my country.
One of the things we didn't talk about, though, is the impact of the fats in our diet. Okay? That's a huge source of arachidonic acid. Huge. There's a reason fish oil is appropriate and omega-6 oils can be a problem, because fish oil goes into those compounds that quiet down that immune system we were talking about, quiets down the inflammatory markers that the body creates in excess. Omega-6 oils don't. They frequently go into the arachidonic acid and they add into that pain. So where do we get those omega-6s? Your fast foods.
So
the
chips
corn
and dips,
oil,
huh?
Chips and dips, your corn oils, animals that are fed grains, farm-raised fish that are fed grains, because animals that eat grains, whether they swim or walk or fly, make omega-6 fats, and those are the ones that can go into a really inflammatory form. This is why grass-fed is so important, wild-caught is important. Pastured animals, pastured eggs is important because of that. So fats that are good for us are the ones that naturally come in nuts and seeds that haven't been taken out of nuts and seeds. All right, we think of those as those are making us fat. No, that's not the case. Actually, if you eat a few nuts, you probably won't be nearly as hungry and you'll stay out of the crackers. if you are eating wild-caught animals and fish and that sort of thing, you're going to get more of the omega-3s. Taking it in supplemental form is another way of doing it. So fruits and vegetables and grass-fed animals and free-ranging animals and game meats and, you know, deep water fish and nuts and seeds. You know, we always laugh at the nuts and berry people. Now, they got it.
I know a lot of nuts and berry
they
people.
They got it. That's the way we should do it. All right, so your Paleo-Mediterranean is basically mitigating how many grains you put in your diet and flour products, mitigating how many of the beans and things like that in your diet, and doing more with the other kinds of foods that we talked about.
You know, this is a program and a talk that we could spend actually an entire day on. It's unfortunate that we have to compress it, but what we want to do again is we want to get your attention, to really get you to reach, to understand that there's more than what you're doing now, and there's far more than what you're being told that you can do. You know, when you have somebody, and I have resources like Sue and to lead me down in areas that I've even forgotten about. This coming in about 2 weeks, I get to talk to a group of about 150 doctors on chronic pain patterns, kind of an offshoot of what we're doing today. But you're going to know as a result of today much more than most of your physicians know. We're coming up to that place of the program where I have to say I'll see you next week. Appreciate you being here. Appreciate you listening to us. Pass it on. And just remember, we do it for you, and we love you. See you later. Bye.